sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
We've got it. Ooh, baby, we've got it.
I'm your Venus. I've got depression. I am tired.
There's your fucking Weird Al karaoke.
Oh my god. I think I could probably put something a little bit better together. is this going to be our introduction?
I don't know, but like about the like I'm your Venus, like make it about performing femininity. Oh, that's my god. Like something.
Oh, that's clever.
My
actually.
Crotch is on fire and I'm tired.
Because I had to get it waxed because of the beauty standard.
Yeah,
nobody likes a bearded clam. I don't know where to ask about. That's easy to rhyme, probably.
Yikes.
Clam is an easy one. But it's not a word I've ever used to describe my...
Speaking of clams, welcome to the Sea Hags podcast.
Oh my god, welcome.
I don't know if I'm going to keep some of that in or not, but I guess we'll find out.
That's some gold, Jerry. That's some fucking gold.
I used to... Whenever, you know, the like, analogism to a sausage party, I always used to think a clam bake was a pretty good
one. Clam jam.
Yeah, clam jam.
Yeah.
But, like, clam bake is an actual thing, you know.
That's true. A clam jam is not.
Yeah.
But then again, a sausage party isn't really a thing that you do very often, except in Germany, maybe.
In Germany.
Perhaps in Germany you have a Bratwurst fest.
I think it's just Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's more about the beer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the sausage.
But you have to have your sausage and your pretzels to absorb all the beer.
Oh, that sounds really good, but also really bad right now.
Yeah. I've been trying to just not put anything super gross into my body because I'm sick. So trying to drink lots of tea. I had 10 pots of tea yesterday.
Can you see through time?
Luckily, it was mostly chamomile citrus.
Did you sleep through time?
Pretty much.
How are you feeling today? You were feeling really crappy when you were coming back from Portolan.
Yeah, today I feel worse than I did yesterday, which is no fun. I kind of receded. I was like super sore throat, and then yesterday I was just sniffly but feeling better, and then today I have both the sore throat and sniffles.
Oh. Well, try not to lick anything near you.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think I'm contagious anymore, but apparently when I came home, I went to Portland and came home on the train and got home at like midnight, and then Ed woke up sick the next day. It's like
it might not have come from you.
That's possible.
But that's a pretty short incubation period. It's like 8 hours.
That's what I said.
That's literally what she said.
Yeah, but like he was like, no, you gotta be sick, and I'm like, shit.
It could have been. Could have been anything.
Could have been anything.
Not like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist.
I technically sort of am.
It's a habit? Or a hobby?
I have credentials.
A hobbyist epidemiologist?
I have credentials. Technically, my degree as a master's of public health person, I could work as an epidemiologist, which apparently pays like $100,000. Like, why don't I do that? Why am I so interested in, like, the social aspect of health instead of just, like, doing math about microbes? Oh, that's why.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't sound very exciting. Oh, yeah, we don't have a guest today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sort of fell through at the last minute, so we thought we'd still get together and...
Yeah, and we haven't seen each other for a week, so Katie, how was your week? And I'll catch you up on mine.
Oh, it was fine. I never want to be an Eeyore. A bother, you know? But hammer my tail back on, because I'm still kind of in the dumps.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I thought I was getting the flu. It really makes me think of that like quote from Wayne's World. Whereas, like, I thought I had mono once for an entire year. Turns out I was just really bored. Just kind of how I was feeling. Because I really, like, on Wednesday I was at work and I just was so dizzy. Like, I was faint. I felt like hell. And so I was like, well, I'm going home and not going to come in tomorrow and probably won't come in Friday.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was getting the flu. But it never materialized. But I was exhausted. I didn't move at all on Thursday or Friday. Like, I didn't leave the house. Which is very unusual for me. Like, I don't
like
being...
You like to walk.
I do, and I don't like being housebound, but I just had no energy for anything. I watched so much television, like a crazy amount of TV.
Yeah.
So
So we're in the midst of some crazy typhoon or something, even though it's like...
In theory.
Yeah, in theory. It's like all this prep and hype about like, the biggest storm that we've ever seen is coming to British Columbia, so batten down your hatches, mateys.
There's nothing.
A bunch of people lost power in Kitsilano yesterday.
Oh, boo fucking who?
Past guest Steve Venegas was hunting for firewood. Because he's so rugged.
He's a very rugged gentleman.
But We didn't lose any power here. I don't know if you lost any out in New West.
Not a bit.
It just looked blustery as fuck. We lost a bit of our lilac tree.
Oh, no.
Just a little branch snapped off, so I'll make some lilac wine with that. I don't know.
He's just quoting Jeff Buckley.
Yes.
Oh, you nerd. Everybody's a nerd today. Yes. I'm just decrying. Everyone is a nerd.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I was remembering all these storms that I used to have when I lived in Gibson's, where we would have like these huge windstorms and they would blow trees everywhere and one tree took out our balcony.
Mm.
And so I had this crazy fever dream last night where we were recording and a tree blew into the window of the shanty shack.
And did we die?
No, but we recorded it.
We're like, oh, tree. We didn't stop.
No, and then we kept
very
going
professional.
For a while. You know, nothing can stop us.
Nothing can stop us.
We were prepared. I kept the power on my battery, like everything on my laptop charged up so that in case the power goes out, we can still keep going.
Yeah.
So we're super professionals.
That is great.
This crazy storm has not really materialized.
No.
And you did a lot of prep for it.
I did.
And you were feeling kind of resentful about it.
A little storm resentment. Yeah. I think maybe that's part of why I was feeling so lousy. I don't know, like the drop in barometric pressure or whatever.
That's
like,
what
could
my
have...
friend Ryan said. He was just like, I've had a headache for 3 days. Like,
yeah.
The pressure system
just kind
low.
Of it really whatever it was got really in concert with the sort of like low degree. I would call it like dysthymic depression that I've been feeling for the last few months, and it just like combined and was like, why even bother going out? Like, just eat the storm chips. I've eaten a lot of storm chips over the last few days. But I did so much prep. Like, I went and bought a bunch of non-perishable foods that could be eaten that had some form of nutrients in them. So, like tuna kits with crackers and, you know, applesauce packages and that kind of stuff. And beef jerky and whatnot, just in case the power went out for a long time. Because... last year, I don't know if it was...
it was the 2-day power outage that was pretty significant. Like, stuff in our fridge went bad.
Ours was only out for, like, 7 or 8 hours, but it, like, I live in a high-rise, right? Like, you can't... there's really no way in or out other than the elevators.
Last year when the power went out, were you stuck in the apartment building?
As far as I know, like, I truly don't know if the elevators work in a power outage or not.
That's freaky.
It's freaky, which is another reason why I didn't want to leave the house at all was kind of like, I don't want to be trapped outside.
That seems like a design flaw.
Well, that's why I'm like, I don't know if it...
yeah.
I have no idea. So I could look it up, I guess, but...
sorry.
But it's honestly, I think I kind of needed an excuse to just do nothing for a couple of days. And I really had, like, designs on the idea that, oh, I would go over the stuff I want to say. I'm hosting the Big Rock show tomorrow, and it's the first time I've hosted a major comedy show. Major. Any comedy show. It's not the first time I've hosted something, but certainly the first time I've done this for, like, the Tricycle Comedy, like, the collective I belong with, so... I was like, oh, I'll practice that. I'll like add to it. I'll write little bits for it or whatever. I just didn't. Like, I didn't. I wrote something 2 weeks ago, but I didn't touch it again till today. So I just didn't have the energy for anything.
But like the storm was kind of like an excuse to hunker down inside.
I feel
like a lot of people were doing that. It's like, oh, it's going to be blustery. I've got all my candles, my wine, my snacks, my board games.
Exactly.
And
I threw my like sobriety challenge out the window too. Cause I made it like 3 weeks and I had I had one drink over Thanksgiving cause it was with my family and you're not allowed to not drink with my family. It feels like a little bit, but I just had like one wine. And then last night I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, what am I even doing this for? I'm bored. So I had some drinks. It was nice, but I was kind of like, maybe I didn't really miss this that much.
There you go. Nice to know.
So it's good. Yeah, I think I'll just be drinking less now than I was before, probably just because and beer makes me feel really bad.
Beer makes me feel really bad.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it tastes wonderful. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I love getting flights. I like the ritual of beer and how it's like kind of masculine a little. Is that weird to like it for that reason?
No.
It just kind of makes me feel like, yeah, I'm a bit of a dude lady. So I kind of like, I don't want to be like, oh, I can't have beer. I can't go to like the brew house. I got to go have wine or a vodka soda.
So I've noticed that beer makes me feel really crappy, and then I was in Portland all week.
Tell us about Portland.
I also found out that I'm allergic to hops. I found this out in Portland.
Uh-oh.
Even to go get cider, it's like dry hopped cider. I was like, no.
My mouth itches.
So like I tried a tasting flight at this one place called Burnside Brewing.
Oh yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
I know it well.
And it was funny because my friend Aaron and I were just like, hey, can we pick like this and that? They're like, oh no, we don't do, like we do flights, but you don't get to pick. You can either have the top 6 of the menu or the bottom 6 or all 18. And we're like, okay, we'll try the top 6, and I got to try a few, and then the ones, like, Erin had mentioned that she's allergic to a certain kind of wheat, or yeast, like the Belgian stuff, so I'm like, I'll have the Belgian ones, And
it's my favorite kind.
I don't really like the Belgian ones that much, but
my favorite kind of beer.
Nice.
It's very strong.
It is very strong. And then she was like, well, maybe you're allergic to hops. And then I, like, drank one of the IPAs, and then I was like, I'll just monitor this. And then, yeah, like, my throat got all tickly, and that's, I feel heartburn all the time. So then I took an antihistamine, and it went away. So I'm like, oh, maybe that's the heartburn that I'm getting from beer is actually just an allergy.
Could be.
So that is nice
to know.
To know, I guess.
Yeah. It's good to know what makes you feel bad. And it's hard to kind of accept it sometimes if it's something that you enjoy.
Yeah. But luckily, like, the taste of IPAs and stuff were starting to not really do it for me
anyway. I don't care for them at all.
Yeah.
I don't like how prevalent they are and how it's like, that's what you drink if you're a beer person is you have IPAs. I'm like, I don't need something to have 85 IBUs to feel like a man.
I had a really delicious rose water ghost, like a rose ghost. Like
you got a rosewater ghost?
It's like, is it a goze or a goze or something like that where it's
let's call it goze.
No, it's not though. It's some kind of Belgian-y type. It's like a sour.
Okay.
Sort of like a Kolsch, but it's like a ghost.
It's, like anyway. It's like a ghost, kind
of? I don't know.
I keep hearing ghost.
Yeah, so.
You had a rose ghost.
It was really delicious, so that was my favorite.
That's good.
Beer. But I went to Portland to see some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And just do a little bit of music making. I played at a wedding up in a mountain.
Inside of the mountains?
Well, it was at a summer camp on a mountain.
That's really cool. Like, that's very Oregon.
It was very cute. And it was definitely pouring rain the whole time, so it was very Oregon. And we played music around a fire in a big, the lodge at the camp, which was very sweet, and met some nice people from Iowa and Minnesota, and they're just like, oh, Minnesota, it's you're from Canada, that's the same thing. I'm just like, I don't think it is, but thank you.
I think it's a little similar. It's very much like rural Ontario, probably, and also Prince is from there, which is wild.
That's
from there.
Yeah.
No, Prince.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
So that was really fun. It was a little bit exhausting, though, of a weekend, so I felt super social, and the fact that we were... Like, I drove down there with my friend, and she's lovely, so we just, like, chatted the whole time, and so then I was already kind of chatted out, and then we went to this wedding, and we had to chat with everybody, there wasn't anywhere to really have alone time at, and then we also just, like, wandered around Portland together, and so I didn't really have any alone time then, and it got to the point where I was like, I know this is rude, but while we're at brunch, can I just read my book? And she was like, that's fine.
I don't think that's rude.
It's a little rude.
I don't know. We read our books all the time when we go out to lunch together.
It's true. And I really like that. And I like having friends that are cool with me doing that.
Yeah, I like alone together time is nice for me. Yeah. I'm not the most affectionate person in the world, which I think bewilders some people.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that I don't like prolonged physical contact with people for the most part. And I'm starting to think, like, do I have a problem with intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
I might, because I don't think I used to. And just in the last few years, I've kind of been like, ugh, every time someone, like, reaches to give me a hug and I don't know them super well.
I've gotten less huggy, too. So maybe it's an age thing.
I wonder. Like, I thought I would become more, like, I'm more emotionally soft as time goes on, but I'm less, like, into, like, a good... snuggle or something. Like, it's not like I don't like it. It's just something that I don't seek out very often, and sometimes I don't really want
to
be.
When we used to have, like, cuddle puddles when we were younger.
We just aren't like that anymore, though, and that's fine for me. I just, I feel awkward when I'm, like, in a pretzel with, like, three friends or something. It's just kind of like, well, here we are. Who has to fart?
Somebody always does.
Someone always does. Just ask. Man.
But I had a weird experience in Portland.
Tell me.
My band goes down and plays a house party basically once a year, and it's been going on for like 13 years. So it's a really close-knit group of people.
Right.
I've been going the last couple of years, and then I missed last year because I let my passport run out. And this year when I went back, it was very interesting because normally we play like the Saturday night show. You hang out all Saturday with everybody. And then you play, like, a late-night set, and then you, like, hang out by the fire, and it's just a really nice sort of time.
Mm-hmm.
This time, just due to circumstances in that wedding that we played, and, like, schedules with, like, all the other band members had, like, little kids with them and stuff, we played a Sunday afternoon set.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend and I, like, rolled up, played the show, and then we're basically, like, ready to leave after that. So there wasn't, like, a lot of hangout time.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I got in the door... these amazing, lovely people that I hadn't seen in a year were like, oh, Christina, hey, how are you doing? We missed you last year. Like, you know, one guy tapped me. It's like, Chris, like, I've been playing your YouTube videos for friends because that song that you sang 2 years ago got stuck in my head. And so I just, like, play it for folks. And another person was like, oh, can you play that one song? And she, like, named an original song of mine. And she's like, I've been listening to your demos on SoundCloud. And I'm just like, that's really nice. But, like, it was too much.
Yeah.
It was, like, I think because I was already so socialed out that I was just like, So, like, I didn't know how to process it.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was so earnest and so kind, but it was, like, just so much.
This is a taste of what it must be like to actually be a celebrity.
Yeah,
hey?
And it was this, like, low-level thing that I was just like, I don't know how to process this at all.
But I'm not really into having this, like, connection at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get
And then
get
I
that.
Felt really bad because everyone there is so nice.
Yeah, it's Portland. Like, everybody's really friendly.
And these people are, like, just so caring, and they're just, like, they
and it
sang
is,
along
wonderful.
With all of our songs. Like, it was really nice.
Yeah.
And I just had to say to everybody, like, I'm really sorry. Like, I actually don't want to hang out. I'm going to take my book and go sit at a bar by myself and read because I just haven't had any time to myself for a while.
Yeah.
And they were all incredibly nice, incredibly understanding. They're like, come back next year, hang out more. You know, and I really want to make an effort next year to, like, hang out at the house party.
Yeah, and just, like, actually schedule time
and
to
like
yourself.
Yes, but, so like, acclimatize a little bit to not just go in and everyone be like, hey. But I was like, yeah, apparently I've got fans in Portland, this little, like, niche.
There is something.
Which is so weird.
It's so awesome. It's so flattering. But it's also odd. Like, there's some kind of oddness of not actually being a celebrity, but having people, like, have an emotional connection with something that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me a couple of times with comedy. Like, people that I'm, like, already acquaintances with in my life. Not super close, but people I've maybe done classes with who've somehow come out and see me.
Yeah.
Seen me. Or who listen to the podcast or whatever. And they tell me about it, and I don't know how to react to it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's that I don't like being told those things, is just don't know what the proper reaction is.
Yeah.
Or what they want out of the situation, because they've got more emotional intimacy with me than the other way around. Like, they've seen something into, like, my own psyche and my own artistic process.
I know, it sounds so wanky.
It does sound wanky,
true.
But it's, I mean, it's a real thing, I think. And to just, to have someone who already has kind of, like, a bit of an intimate connection with something that's, like, been from inside of you.
Yeah, and they're like, that thing that you made means a lot to me, and I listen to it all the time, is kind
of
like...
And then you feel, like, a bit of pressure to live up to it, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas, when nobody gives a shit, it's kind of just like, oh, a little bit of applause is nice, or
yeah,
whatever.
And then it's like, oh, I'm just doing this for me, and I'm glad you had a good time, which is why I love... you know, performing, like, improvised music, and then it's just kind of gone, and we all had a really good time together.
Totally.
But, like, now that I've actually put a few songs down and, like, recording, it's, like, they're tangible, and people now listen to them, and which is really great, and I think that's what you're supposed to do. It just is something that I'm not super familiar with. But it also lit a fire under my ass, so there were a bunch of different people that I saw, friends that I haven't seen in a while, that were just like, oh, are you still playing music? Not really. Not that much anymore. Oh, are you still writing songs? Oh, I haven't really written any songs for the last, like, 4 years. I've just still got these ones that I'm still kind of figuring out. And it just kind of, again, made me feel weird and guilty for, like, not keeping up with my artistic stuff. Because it's like, well, I love my new job in, like, politics, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And then this podcast feels very creatively fulfilling to me. And so that's kind of where I'm expending a lot of energy. And then the rest of the time, I'm just, like, very tired.
I think that's something that I really have a hard time just, like, figuring out what is part of, like, this depression that I'm going through right now. Like, is it that, or is it that I'm tired, or is it that I am putting too much energy into one thing and then not another or something? Mm-hmm. It's been very hard for me, and I've been very inside my own head the last week, for sure. And part of that, like, I don't have you to yammer at all day on GChat. Like, it's very easy to just sort of spit things out, and then it doesn't stay stuck in my craw.
Yeah.
But when I kind of keep going over it, and I end up doing, like, personal writing or something, then, you know, I get too analysis-y with it. And analytical, I guess, is probably the word that I was looking for. But, I'm just thinking, like, I'm having a hard time enjoying things lately. I do like this. I like this a lot, but I don't feel pressure about it. Whereas with comedy, I feel like people are very aware of the fact that I'm not, again, it comes back to, like, the whole, like, what do other people think? Like, versus, and I got into not quite a fight, but just sort of, like, I kind of told someone off at the open mic last week.
Oh.
Or the week before, I guess. I don't know if I talked about it on, but I had a couple of experiences with people in the local comedy community who were being very prescriptive about the kind of things you need to do to be successful.
Okay.
And this has come up before, like we've done this in like the special episode that we did back in April or whatever it was. And, just like people saying like, oh, don't complain that shows are late. Like you just give up your, like you give up all your free time to do this. That's what this is.
Mm.
I was like, that doesn't sound fun to me. And that's much easier for you as someone who's 20 or 21 to do that. Like you don't know, you have no idea how much more energy you have right now than you're going to in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have no clue how bad it's going to tank. And that's something that I've been feeling really hard lately is like, it kind of goes with the anhedonia of being slightly depressed. Like, I'm not deeply depressed. I'm kind of fine. My life is all right, but I'm just like, whatever.
Anhedonia as in not getting just, enjoyment and
pleasure. I'm not getting pleasure out of things the way I usually do. You know, like, I do still feel good sometimes. Like, I take a hot bath, I go for a walk, those kinds of things. Like, they make my body feel better. But, like, trying to figure out, like, would you want to watch a movie? Like, I guess. Like, what do you want to watch? I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know what I want. What do you want to eat? Like, I don't care. Like, who gives a shit?
Hmm.
Kind of thing. Like, I don't know what I want. Everything's foggy. Everything's a little bit gray.
That sounds like depression to me.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. And it is. It's just, like, I don't feel sad. I just feel, like, worn out.
Yeah.
And I just realized, like, when I was... The last time I went through a depression, I was 21, but that was a sad depression. Mm-hmm. I was sad because I lost a bunch of things. And now I'm just like, ugh. I don't know how to deal with that very easily because there's no cheering up. Like, you can't, like, inject someone's enjoyment back into them kind of thing. Like, it's not a matter of...
I think that's what MDMA is for.
Well, let's have a big drug party,
no, because then you deplete everything and then you feel bad.
I don't like MDMA.
I'm starting to learn about, like, the consequences of things now. If I do something that's fun right now, it's going to feel bad later, so then I don't do it.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I just...
Oh, no. Learning.
Oh, no. Well, I can remember when I first moved out of my parents' house when I was 22, and I lived with a roommate, and I was, like, really close to Main Street, and I just went out all the time.
Mm.
You know, I was in a band at the time, but I did karaoke, like, every week. I would just go out constantly. Yeah. And it was just, like, there was always something to do, and I always wanted to see my friends, and I saw my friends all the time. And now it, like, feels like a chore, even as much as I want to see them, as mm-hmm. much as I desperately want to see people. It's, like, the wrangling to, like, how's your schedule? How's your energy level? How's all this stuff? Like, it's just so much easier to just stay home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been ending up doing that a lot, and it's not helping. But I don't have the energy, and other people kind of don't have the energy, and so it's hard to, like, make that sort of music with people anymore.
Ugh.
Which is kind of it was sort of a grody feeling, but I realized this as I was sort of being lectured by someone who was much, much younger than me. I was like, who the fuck do you think you are, first of all? Like, I don't actually feel that aggressive towards this person, but it was kind of like, what? You don't actually know anything. Mm. And I don't even know anything. Like, I'm 31, and I realize that there are things that my parents know that I'm going to learn.
Yes.
And be like, oh, fuck, they were super duper right.
Yeah.
Because that definitely, like, now that I'm 30, I'm like, oh, yeah, it does. You do feel old.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
And that's, like, my partner who's 42 is telling me, like, just wait. Like, it's even
just
more.
Just wait.
Like, just the energy level does go down and your body starts to be creaking and cracking and
mm-hmm.
more pains and aches and stuff. And I'm like, but how much of that is age and how much of it is, like, neglecting our bodies? Like, because he works constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he used to do Aikido and felt a lot healthier. So it's just, like, how when I used to do a lot more physical exercise and whatever,
mm-hmm.
yoga... I felt a lot better, so maybe that's something that can stave off some... Like, there are
this
some...
is just making me think of that article I posted from Reductress. Stupid asshole doctor recommends exercise as a treatment for depression.
Stupid asshole doctor.
It's like, Dr. Reynolds, a noted asshole.
I know, it's
but it's true, and it's, but the thing is like, finding the motivation to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many reasons to not do it in the moment, and the actual benefit is with, after so much cumulative effort.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have immediate reinforcement, the way that overeating does.
Yes. So, I wonder if there's a pattern of, like, you have all this energy in your 20s, and then in your 30s, like, I'm sure someone's done studies on this, so they're just like, you asshole.
Gerontologists,
like,
or something.
Or whatever, but then it's like, in your 30s, you just start to dip, mm-hmm. and then it's like, again, in your, like, 40s, or maybe even 50s, like, you see these 50-year-olds that are suddenly like, ah, life is short. I need to ride a bike every day and I need to get really into this. Like they,
my parents, yeah, your mom?
My mom, like they get all this energy back again because they're like, I need to fucking reclaim all of this. So technically we
they
should
generate
be...
They generated in themselves.
Yeah, so we should be trying to preempt that. But it's really hard. And so like, I wonder, that's also a cyclical thing that maybe a lot of folks that have kids go through that where it's like, you know, you lull into your 30s and you get really, like,
you're not
housebound.
So worn out from them being so young and so needy, then you have more energy to go out and
do so then, like, once you get out of that, you're suddenly like, oh, this is great. My kids don't need me as much anymore. I'll go do all these
things.
I'll
go play pickleball.
But, like, without that, like, other piece in there, I feel like that's a thing that's kind of missing in my life where I'm like, I'm just tired all the time for no reason.
Yeah.
And nothing to show for.
It's hard to, like, make the space and the time. And I think, like, I only work, like, 30 hours a week, really. And I don't know why it's so hard for me to get everything else in there. But the idea of, like, going to work, coming home, going to the gym, coming home again, getting a shower, and then going out and doing a set. Considering that I have to drive half an hour always, at least, to get to do a set, pretty much. Like, that's just how it works. I just think, like, what... At what point is it enough? You know, like, at what point am I going to feel like I'm doing the right balance of things? Yeah. It's so hard.
Yeah. So. And, like, I often find evenings after I get home from work, I'm like, I feel really tired. I just need to decompress.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, it's, like, 7 o'clock, and now I'm, like, bored. Can I go to bed? It's like, I could have gone to something else.
And then now could be my decompression time kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just feel so compelled to just, like, gah at the end of the day. Like, I don't feel very energized by my job right now. I'm hoping that changes. What I did, actually, and you have your journal, too. Like, we were going to be, like, big nerds today and, like...
journal friends.
Talking about, like, being kind of in a bad place, but, like, seeing the rope we need to grab to get out of it, kind of. And
I'm feeling
I'm just
motivated.
Batting at it right now. I'm not really ready to hold on to it and, like, climb up or be pulled up, even. I'm just like, I see it. Don't pull it out. Like, I'm going to grab it eventually, but I'm just, like, kind of still right now. And so... I've been writing on this feeling a lot. Like, this whole, like, I don't know where my motivation is. I don't know where to find it. So, yeah. So, I don't, yeah, I feel kind of stuck still.
Yeah.
I guess I should probably go back to therapy.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Oh, it's expensive.
It is. I just got benefits from work, and sweet counseling bennies. Is included in my benefits,
fucking
which
aces.
Is really cool. It's not fully covered, but it's, like, a lot covered, which is really,
that's
so I
nice.
Think I might go pursue some, like, instead of just, like, the free counselor that I got from work.
Yeah.
I might pursue something more substantial, I guess.
Yeah, I really, I'm really stuttering a lot today. That's weird. I don't usually have that problem. But I guess I'm just, like, barometric pressure. Just blame it on something
under
else.
Under pressure.
Ding, 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 ding. I just said dink. See, some things are still really funny.
Yeah.
Dick jokes, always hilarious.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm seeing that I have to put a bunch of effort in to start getting good results, I, like, don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to join a gym, like, of some kind. I want to get a trainer.
Yeah.
I want somebody to put me, I look at Ron Funches as somebody who was like, oh, fuck, like, life is short. I got to get my hustle on. Like, I need to, like, I've got a son and I got to stay alive a long time so
stay
I can look after.
Alive.
Oh, my God. And he's lost, like, 150 pounds in the last year and a half, I think. And he's, like, always tweeting from the treadmill and stuff.
Yeah.
And he looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
He's always been cute.
Yes.
But he looks really healthy now.
Yeah.
Like, he just glows
from
within and, like, has energy. And I think, like, fuck, I need to do that. But that seems like a lot of work, especially because, like, I'm not on camera all the time.
Yeah. So it's like, who actually cares?
No one actually cares. You know,
and
my wife thinks I'm cute no matter
what. Yeah, and we want to, like, love ourselves as we are, but we also want to do good by ourselves as well, right? So that ourselves that we love will stay around for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's not about weight or necessarily appearance, but it's about my, like, inner energy level for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm never trying to, like, create a atmosphere of body shaming or, like, even focus on the fact that I do have a lot of problems with my own body. Like, I just always have and probably will be fighting with that for the rest of my life. But I don't, like, want to...
society.
Yeah, I don't want to denigrate fat bodies. Like, there's a lot of really, like, very, like, fit, and there's people who are not fit or active, and it's fine. Like, there's no, my issues are not their issues, and I'm not here to project my issues on them. I would like to lose some weight, if only because, like, my knees hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, my back hurts all the time, and I've developed a new role on my back, which I'm not super into. I was like, oh, this doesn't make shirts look as good as I would like. So it's like, I would, but I also feel guilty about that. Just because, yeah. like, you gotta feel guilty about everything if you're Katie fucking Nordgren. You gotta find a way.
Oh, man.
There's gotta be a better way to feel guilty about this.
Yeah. Sucks. Well, that does suck. I was surprised to find myself feeling weird guilt feelings, because normally I'm, like, guilty Teflon, right? Where, like... Or guilt Teflon. If it was guilty Teflon, that would be like your frying pan just being like,
I'm sorry, I burned your egg. Ow.
But like, to actually, about not creating enough music and not playing music enough and all that kind of stuff. But I still, just to finish off my Portland trip, like, was able to get some alone time that I needed. I went down to Eugene and visited past guest Rachel, which was really awesome. And to go to her place, I've been to their house like many years in a row for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And it just felt like coming home to family.
Oh, that's
and so
nice.
I just, like, put on my comfy pants, and she had slippers that were, like, in my size in the cover.
Tiny, tiny little pixie slippers?
That's not true. That's so funny.
You just invented this?
Yeah, my mom has that for me at my house. Rachel does not. How
just
weird.
Some fuzzy socks.
I just told a lie.
You just conflated family feelings.
Well, I guess that's okay. I guess that's nice. So then I hung out with, like, her kid and her husband and... We just had a really nice couple of days, and then I got super sick because I think I had some downtime.
Yeah.
And then decided to cut my Portland trip short and just, like, took a 12-hour transit home Eugene all the way up to Vancouver with a transfer in Portland. Yeah, where my friend, like, met me at the train station with soup, which was really nice.
Just gave you some food to take up? That's good.
So now I'm just kind of feeling sick and sleepy, but I got to be sick in my own bed instead of in somewhere else.
It sounds like you're probably on the mend. It's probably the last bad day.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just had another random thought about, like, my comfort level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to change the topic.
I mean, we don't really have a topic. We're just sort of, like, shooting the shit here because we're like, well, we've got to stick with our routine and keep podcasting when we don't have anything to talk about.
As we said we would, which is, this is a nice goal that I'm happy that we're keeping.
I mean, I listen, like, one of my favorite podcasts is the Jackie and Laurie Show, and, like, a fifth of their episodes are just like, oh, do we have to keep talking? I hate this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
It's not like they've got, like, really cohesive things that they talk about for the most part.
But they're so fun.
Yeah, I love them.
I almost had a chance to meet Jackie Cation, except I had to play this other show. Okay. Oh, but I did randomly run into Ian Carmel in a bar.
Which is cool.
And he's a very nice man.
I like him.
I just was reading a book, and he was sitting at the bar and then came over and sat, like, right close to me. So I was just, like, looked up from my book. I was like... Hi, Ian Carmel. I'm being introverted over here with a book. He's like, well, thank you for extroverting yourself and saying hi. And I was like, if you ever come to Vancouver, I want to be on a podcast, and gave him a sticker, and he put it on his little notebook.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice little Mr. Ian Carmel.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. I dig him. I actually saw him when I was in Portland, not like face-to-face as you did, but I saw him play the Revolutionary Hall, which was a really cool venue, I think, where they had the finale of the All Jane Festival.
That's where Maria and Jackie were playing, and I really wanted to go see them.
Yeah, that would have been a cool show. I heard that Jackie killed. And nice. I've seen her once here. I think I actually saw her open for Maria at the Mix once.
Okay.
But I really want to see her do, like, an hour.
Yes.
I just love her.
Yes.
Her special is so fucking funny. Nice. Have you seen it?
I haven't, actually.
Well,
then
come on over and see it with me sometime, because it's called This Would Make an Excellent Horcrux, and it's really hilarious.
That's awesome.
She's just delightful. I love her.
So, what I was saying about, like, just comfort randomness, I realized that I have three stages of clothing, because as I've been sick at home, I have my pajamas. Uh-huh. And then when I'm like, oh, I'm still in my pajamas, I have, like, a second level of, like, in-house comfort
clothing. Like a nicer pajama?
So that's what I'm currently in.
Okay.
So I have these jeans from Old Navy that are basically, like, cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them a size too big, so they're, like, super loose and comfy. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, a big cardigan and a scarf.
Yep.
But then it still kind of looks like I'm wearing clothes. Like, I could leave the house in this pretty...
You'd look perfectly nice.
Yes, but it's, like, they're so comfy, and this is, like, and then I have my, like, going to work clothes or whatever.
Sure.
But it's, like, as soon as I come home from work, I will switch into, like, phase two, and then into phase one.
I fully dirtbag at home. My pajamas are disgusting. Like, they're horrible to look upon. But I keep, like, I am an obsessive washer of clothes. Like, my big problem is I don't want anything to ever smell bad.
Oh, yes.
So I don't really care of its condition. So I'll, like, have shirts till they fall apart because I wear them once and wash them, right? Like, I'm not somebody who will wear the same pajamas three times in a row. I'm like, no. Fresh pajamas every night.
Mm.
Fresh pajamas when I walk in the door. I whip my pants off, put on my PJ pants.
Just fresh, like, oh, man. That's kind of luxury.
Well, it is, yeah, I mean, I like have, it. I have, in-suite laundry, which is a total luxury in the Greater Vancouver Regional District. So I do a lot of laundry, and I just, like, yeah, I'm a clean dirtbag. I'm just holding the holes together with little bits of fabric, kind of. Like, there's always bleach stains over everything because I always wear them to do my hair. So I'm just gross. I don't really bring it at home. I don't buy very nice things for myself. I got this giant cardigan or sweater that I'm wearing.
I was just going to say that sweater is really lovely.
From Old Gravy.
Yes.
It's giant. Like, this would be a dress, like, to your knees on you, I think, because it's, like, pretty much a dress on me.
Great.
Which is very comfortable.
That's perfect fall styles. You've got some either leggings or, you know.
I got my giant jeans on, too. Yeah. So, yeah, we're just really bringing it.
I like it. I like it.
It's podcasting wear. You got to sound comfortable.
Oh, man. I was having some thoughts about Portland as well, because the houses there are so beautiful.
They're gorgeous. Like, and
my friends have this amazing house. They actually got it from, like, a rockabilly guy. So when they bought it, the house is neon green with, like, a skull mural on the garage door. And my friend Jesse, who bought it, was just like, I love it. And
this house looks like an upright bass sounds like.
And his wife was like, so we're remodeling. He's like, do we have to? But there's still remnants in the kitchen. They have, like, neon green and black, like, checkerboard floors in the kitchen.
I'm very into that.
It's really good.
I have a very brightly colored
house.
But,
like, they have this beautiful house that they, like, own. Then, like, people are telling me about, like, their other, like, house things. And then I was talking to my other friend, and I mentioned that, like, something about our rent. She's like, you rent? I thought you guys owned that house. I was like, oh, good Lord. Oh, good
That's
sweet Lord.
Adorable.
But it's like, because, like, you know, your partner's lived there for, like, 20 years. I'm like, yeah, renting, it's precarious as fuck, and I feel really unstable about it, and I don't like talking about it. And so
it's
hard. Like, I was feeling a little of that, like, I don't want to be pushed out of the place that I grew up in just because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Which seems like that's how it's going, which is really sad to be, because I grew up here, and this is where, like, I feel like my heart is.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have to move.
Yeah, I really feel that. I mean, I'm in a fairly stable position because we do own our apartment, but the thing is, like, the apartment cost way more than my parents' house did when they bought it. Like, and they bought a parcel of land and built the house from scratch, right? And I just got this tiny little 900-square-foot apartment that, you know, and we're very grateful that we have the ability to live in it. But the thing is, like, with our incomes, it sounds, if you just look at it on paper, it looks like we're rich.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go very far at all. Like, we have so many bills. Like, we maybe make the money, but it all goes back out right away. Like, car payment, house payment, electricity, like, everything. It's just the discretionary income that's left over is so small.
I know. I was trying to budget today. Before you got here, I was actually looking at budget apps. Because I'm, like, trying to look into, like...
You did a weird Mr. Burns hand thing when you said that.
I did!
Like, you're like, my dollars.
That's very funny.
I like it. You just think about money, you're like, excellent.
It's totally unconscious. But it's, like, my rent is pretty low, so I should be saving tons of money, but it just still goes away.
It's so fucking hard.
And so I'm trying to, like, budget out some stuff.
Like, the thing where it rounds up to the next dollar and then saves that amount or whatever.
Or something, yeah. So, like, there is, like, I've got, like, a payroll loan program out of my work that I can sign up for, which I need to start doing. Or not loan. Payroll savings or whatever.
Right.
So they would deduct something. I'm going to go to my bank and talk to them about, like, how can I consolidate all this, like, credit shit.
Do you have a line of credit on your debit card?
No.
Yeah, you got to get one of them.
Yeah. They wouldn't give one to me when I asked.
No, those fuckers.
They were like, your credit is horrible. We will not give you one.
I was like, dear.
No.
Whoops.
Whoops, I went to Scotland for grad school. Shit.
Ah, but your life is rich in experience.
Oh, my God.
The face. Yeah, money's scary. We don't have to keep talking about it if you
it's
don't want
fine,
to.
But, like, I don't know. I'm trying to work out some budgetary things and trying to be more responsible. And I feel like winter is the time to do that, I guess. Like, you hunker down, you store your little acorns. It's very squirrely.
Your toonies.
Yeah.
Stop eating those. Those coins have been, we don't know where.
They're covered in urine.
Just pee-pee coins.
God, in the States, their money is so gross. I hate paper bills. Ugh, and it's, like, so papery. Like, yeah, I like our plastic ones.
Yeah.
It's like, I had one that was, like, it looked like a used snot rag, like hanky.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Ew.
Ew.
But then,
I like Portland.
Whatever. Just trying to, like, adult. So, like, trying to get my finances in order. Got to go to the dentist. I realize there's, like, a yoga studio above my work that I should go to. And
I mean, there's like fitness classes at SFU, you know? Mm-hmm. I just have to, but it's like across campus. And
okay, I got us back onto griping about stuff. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, this is just the gripenest episode.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like I'm trying to
What's eating Gilbert Gripe?
But just about, you know, you said that you see the rope dangling, and now I'm like holding it, so now I'm gonna try to like hoist myself up on it a little bit.
That's clever.
I offloaded some extracurricular responsibilities, which is nice.
That's the best.
I normally teach a workshop twice a year, and it was coming up again, and I was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait, I know this one person who is amazing and is actually teaching a lot of workshops on this topic. Why don't I ask if she would do this one as well? And she was like, I'm so excited for that opportunity, and I actually know this organization, and I work with it. I'm like, cool. That connection makes way more sense.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking, here's the PowerPoint that I use. She's like, this is awesome. Thank you. And now that's off my plate.
Nice.
Which is really lovely. So I don't have a lot of things that I have to do in the next little while.
I think I have to start building some things in that I have to do. Okay.
Like scheduling certain
things, I guess. Yeah. I was talking about really wanting to get a trainer or something, and I don't know what's freaking me out about it a bit. Is one that I've just had a lot of physical pain in my body lately. Like, yep. I'm going to get an RMT massage tomorrow from this guy who is listed as being like really good at the deep tissue stuff. Like, it's gonna hurt so bad, but I have like a lot of really like painful points in my body, and so it's really hard to go and work out when you're like, am I gonna make this worse?
Yes, that's true, actually.
And the other thing is, there's this like weird sort of like, I don't think it's as intense as CrossFit, but like a pretty heavy duty weightlifting gym that opened nearby me that claims to do like really personalized stuff that I'm curious about.
You want to be like strong and buff, right?
I want to be really buff. Like, I'd like to have some big fucking muscles.
You can really cosplay that chick from that video.
Oh,
game.
God. Zarya from Overwatch, a game that I've never played because I don't play games.
you just look like her and she's awesome.
I look a lot like her. but there's this, the thing that's the dumbest thing is keeping me from going in and talking to someone in there. Besides just being like, well, I'm depressed and chubby, and so they're going to be like, you're a lost cause. They're totally not going to be like, they're going to see me as like a walking burlap sack with a dollar sign on it. So, but they've got this like, show us your squat poster outside, which is just like a life-size poster of someone in a super deep squat. And I'm like, I physically cannot do that. My knees are wrecked. Like, they're so bad already. Like, I can't get down that far and then get back up. It makes a horrible noise.
Oof.
Like, just getting up off the, like, if I'm on my knees and I get up off the ground, it's like, it's an awful sound.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so I'm like, but I'm going to the doctor on Monday. I'm be like, do I have arthritis? Like, do I have something wrong with my joints? Because it's really painful. And, you know, if she says yes, then, well, what can I do? Like, can I go see, like, a physiotherapist or something like that? And if not, if it's just like, well, you just have to build up the muscles around that and you know, take glucosamine or something.
Yeah,
like
but then
that,
you've then got sort of a plan at least. But well, exactly. I hear you about not wanting to like make something worse.
Yeah.
By like, okay, I just need to work out all the time. It's like if you just started to go running because you thought you had to, you might fuck up your knees even more. You would fuck up your knees even more because running
Seriously.
Is terrible.
It's really bad for your knees. And I have like bad hips. I just have like bad joints in my family. And
is that why you like
smoking joints? Yes, I do. And yes, it is. Very clever. But I was just like looking at that going like, thinking like they're not even going to offer me a modified version of that. Like they're going to be like, no, you have to do it exactly like this. And that's, I'm just projecting like my fear and assuming that that's going to be the actual outcome as opposed to like, hey, these are people whose job is to make something work for you.
Yes.
And who actually want you to succeed.
You're employing them, sort of, and they have to work for you in a way that works for you.
Well, exactly. And I just, but that really butts up against my whole, like, I have to not make trouble for anyone. Like, I have to be no maintenance for anyone else and also take care of everybody else. And this is, like this is the thing.
Recurring theme of
this is the recurring theme of my whole entire life. And that's something that I was, I wrote this huge thing. Like, when I was having a really bad day, I wrote a 2,500-word, something that I called the Cade of the Union. Because I'm a cheek.
That's cute.
And I just, like, I have, like, I've got my sort of human relationships as a theme in here. And so what you can see that I
wow, it's actually coherent, too. Because when I journal, I just, like, vomit.
I am painfully organized. Like, I can't have data that isn't well organized. You should see every, like, folder on my computer at work. Everything's so tidy. Like, it just, I need to know where everything is. It has to go in its logical place. So I've got, like,
here's relationships, here's how, like, my friendships and relationships go.
And
here's the overall goals, and here are some of the things I could do to make these things happen.
Wow.
Get out of there. And, like, all these plots of work, this huge, here's my goals, here's the things that I could do, creativity, health, and I think finance? Oh, leisure I put in there. I was like, bitch, relax. It was the first line. You don't have to feel guilty for finding pleasure and not being constantly available to everyone. It's not healthy for you. You think it helps your anxiety to check every social media thing all the time and to always look at your phone, but it fucking doesn't. Read a book, listen to a podcast, go have fucking fun. Ask people to hang out and be fine if they say no. You know, like,
great.
These things that are just like, this is just me telling myself off, right? And money, like, we don't really have money problems. It just feels like we do because we maintain things so closely. Like, mm-hmm. we have to be very careful, but it's fine. And my overall takeaway was, Katie, your wants and needs are actually important, and you can have them met. You may need to negotiate for them and have hard talks, but you are entitled to make a life that centers your own happiness. People may bristle at a more self-focused and self-interested you, and that's fine. They'll get used to it.
Holy shit.
You can take time you need to love and fulfill yourself. But I was like, sounds fake, but okay. Like, I wrote this to myself. And it's ridiculous that I just have such difficulty with this, because I'm like, well, what if people don't like me anymore, if that's how I am? What if people only like me because I do things for them?
Well, then they're turds.
Right? But the I think, like, as being somebody who has been, like, abandoned before,
yeah,
that the fear of that is very powerful, even if it's not practical. Like, it's not going to happen. I'm very tightly integrated into my various communities, and I haven't committed any, like, venial sins or anything. Like, I'm a nice person, and people generally want good things for me, but I still have it in my head that people, like, want to see me fail.
Mm.
It's so hard to get rid of that. And I think that's why, like, therapy is so important.
Yes.
Because then you have someone like, well, is that true? Well, it feels true, but is it true? But it feels true, like, but it's not true, and that feeling will go away if you actually do, like, basically cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Like, you have to do the thing you're afraid of, find out that it's not going to be a huge problem, and you have to do that, like, 100 times before it actually becomes your habit. And that's just, like, it's just, oh, I have to work hard at more things?
But that's a really important one.
Yeah, I'll die if I don't, probably. Yeah,
that's, like, the most important one. That will then help a lot of the other stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, like, waiting for, like, some floaty goddess to come down from heaven and just be like, it's cool, everybody be nice to Katie. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Gaia, or whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm so needy for things to be external, like, for people to, like, come into my life and be like, oh, it's fine if you don't. You know, but just realizing that, like, if someone's upset with me, they will not be upset with me forever.
Yeah.
And if they are, that's really their problem.
They're expending a lot of energy on that.
I just do that so much. I get so hurt by things. And aww. I just, like, it makes it such a big deal. It's so stupid. Ah, stop it.
Boo.
Me.
Boo.
Boo indeed.
I definitely see the, like, appeal of all of, like, the self-help books and stuff like that, where it's like, here's a quick, easy fix to blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is so appealing, but it just never works. You do have to actually plow through some shit.
Yeah, like, I don't think I've ever finished that Emily Gordon book.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, it just was too something. I don't know. It's just like,
it felt like it was aimed more at teen girls than adult women.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people got a lot out of it.
I think there was some very helpful things, but it's just a lot of things I already know, but just have a hard time implementing. Because, like, the way something feels around it is so motivating, like, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I think, like, depending on how the idea of something makes you feel. For example, like, being invited out somewhere with people, if I don't particularly want to go, but I feel like I have to, then I'll feel, like, guilt and, like, this idea that, oh, just guilt, I guess. Like, instead of just going, like, oh, well, I don't really want to do it. Or in the sense, like, I'm going to do this thing even though I don't want to. So it's guilt and unenjoyment.
A bit of, like, I'm suffering through this for somebody.
When I could just say, you know, I don't really feel like doing that. Like, maybe another time. And then that would be fine. Like, maybe the other people would be disappointed. Maybe they think I was a dick. But ultimately, like, they're not going to tell me that they think I'm a dick, probably, because people usually don't.
Mm-hmm.
They just fester inside.
Oh, God.
And then they have to do the work to, like, not do that in the way that I have to do the work to not do that. So, just constantly trying to grow as a person, and it's exhausting, and I'm tired of it.
Because I think a lot of other people are just kind of cruising.
That's what it seems like. I really doubt that they are.
Yeah.
And that's something that I have to tell myself. It's something that I tell my friends when they're just like, yeah, like you're saying like, oh, I think that person feels, it's like, but I think that they probably are going through their own hard stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and everyone's trying to figure this shit out.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Bleh.
Unless they're just like super, I don't know. I can't even say that. It's like even somebody that's like really well off probably has their own problems. Somebody that's like kind of dumb probably has their own problems. That's mean. Like the ignorance is bliss thing. Or it's like you just don't know how bad things are.
I think I
don't know.
I think there's a part of me that really wishes people were more open about like sort of everyday struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I don't want that because then I would think about them and worry about them. I don't know what I want out of life. Like
sometimes it's hard when somebody is just totally venting about all the stuff that's going on in their life constantly.
Yeah. Which I feel like I do.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just having a real experience this year, and it happened to happen in concert with doing the podcast, right? So now I'm realizing that I'm recording all of these things going like, oh, God, I am really insufferable.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been very complimentary. Like, you're so sweet. Like, I love listening to you puzzle through something. I'm like, why?
Maybe other, again, whatever. I don't want to reflect on what other people listening to this might be thinking, but if you relate to that and it's just like, oh, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I can't imagine that my feelings are super unique. Like, a lot of it's, like, feminine socialization mm-hmm. and things, like being available to people and trying to, like, be, like, have a lot of utility.
Yeah, well, there's that whole meta-filter thread on emotional labor. Fuck. That was, like, I read that for 8 hours, and I still didn't read everything.
Yeah, it was
so
hard.
Like, so many people have the same experiences around
yeah.
doing all this work and not necessarily being recognized for it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a pretty common theme among a lot of folks.
Becoming aware of it but not really knowing how to stop it is awful. Like, yes. It's a very bad feeling. Like, I almost wish I was still ignorant about it or that I had more ability to just say no to things. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on it. I am doing it more. Like, yeah. I've said no to we've talked about this. Like, I've said no to a couple of things that I just didn't feel like doing. And then I was like, oh, people were upset for, like, 3 minutes. And then they were fine.
Yay.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, but this, like, is part of the just keep doing that.
Just keep doing it. And so, yeah, I am trying. But opportunities come up and it's like, do I really want to make this like my cognitive behavioral work right now? But I kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of need somebody smarter than me to tell me what to do a part of the time. Just to, like, help me make my better habits. And I think that's what therapy is, kind
of. Yeah, I guess it is.
It's like, I just need somebody who's really, like, cool and nice that I pay to just sort of give me a bit of a scaffold for my weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And not, like, tell me what to do 100% of the time, but just some of the time.
Yeah.
Would be helpful.
I really liked your goal setting. That was, like, when I felt really in a funk last February
mm-hmm.
and was just like, I don't know what to do. I'm not really satisfied in my job. And I kind of made all these lists of, like, here are the things that I bring to the table. Yeah.